Oh, there. Now we're on. Awesome. Well, I hope that you have had a good first few days of the new year. And I'm looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us as a church family in the days to come. If you weren't able to be with us on New Year's Eve, we had a lot of fun here. Tons of fun, right, Bob? We had some competitions, some games, a balloon. A bunch of balloons dropped, music was going, food, and I think the part that I just enjoyed most was getting to sit around and to pray together for a few moments and consider some ways that we want to grow this year in putting Jesus first in our lives. I enjoy this time of the year because it's when we tend to think of it as a time for a fresh start. It's a good time to start something new or make plans for some things that we want to accomplish in the year. I think some of us do that more for others, more than others. And for me, this is that time of the year, right, Kristen? I like to set it all out. We get to lay out some plans and get a vision or a picture for what this year might look like, and then we pray that God would use it all for His glory and for our good. Things that we hope for and things that only He knows of, and all the while knowing that it's in His hands. Unless it's in His hands, it's all pointless and worthless if He's not in it. God's word says this, says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." It says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." And so we pray and we seek and we ask God for guidance in our planning, just as we took time this morning as a church family to pray during the Sunday school hour here in the sanctuary. And our aim is to know Him. It's to make Him known. Every year, it's the same story as we gather together. It's what we, the church, are called to be about. It's about helping people find and follow Jesus. And we understand from Scripture that God is calling our church family and the community to be a people where people find a place to belong, where people can become more like Christ and also grow in being a blessing to others. And so how is God speaking to you this year about growing? What is an area in which you feel like God is asking you to just grow in putting Him first in your lives? Is your heart warm or cold right now in your relationship with Him? Are you trusting Him each step of the way? Are you surrendering to the work and the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life? This morning, I want to take some time, just a few brief moments, to talk about putting first Him in our lives. Here at the beginning of the year, it's just the important thing. Where we're headed is we're going to be ending our time together this morning at the altar for communion. But before we get there, I just want to just remind us and go to Psalm 96 as a way for us to be reminded as to what is it that we are called to first and foremost in our lives. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 96, where the psalmist calls us to worship. Psalm 96, and let's stand for the reading of God's word. Psalmist writes this, he says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. And so let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth, and he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we come now to your word, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. We ask that you would help us to see clearly an understanding of who you are and what it is that you call us to do and how it is that we should go about that. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your grace, and oh, how we need you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning as we consider this passage, we're asking the question of what is it that we are called to? Here at the very beginning of the year of foundational stuff, putting first things first, what is it that we as a people are called to? But not only what are we called to, why should we do it, how should we do it, what's the context for all of this? And right out of the gate, David is calling us to do something in the first three verses. Three times he says it, over and over. He says, sing. He tells us to lift up our voices, and throughout these three verses, instruction is given on what it is that we are supposed to sing and make known. And maybe you hear that and you're like, that's wonderful, I am not much of a singer. Why do we sing so much when we're in church? Like, that's the longest part of the service for me. Let's just keep it going. Or maybe for some of you, that is your most favorite part of the service. Here's the reason that we sing. God's word tells us to do it. Singing is one of those things that we do that evokes emotion and feeling. It conveys a whole lot more than just saying something, right? It's like this morning, we've said it over and over, like, great is his faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. You know, we can say these things, we can read these things. These are verses that are like right here. He says, sing to the Lord a new song. How can we come up with a new song every day? Well, we can do that every day because we wake up and we are reminded that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And so that's a wonderful verse and a great thing to say it, and I just thought of this. So like, but you can just say that, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. But you sit down and you just add, why do we sing? We sing because we can, the steadfast love, do you guys remember? Of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. There's something about singing it, right? That adds a little bit more to it. It's because it's so good. Let's sing it one more time. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. It's like there's something about singing. There's something about putting more to than just saying it and adding music to it. And so here the psalmist is saying, here, this is what we want to do, people. I'm calling you to sing and to sing it out loud of the faithfulness and the goodness of our God, because his mercies are new every morning. That's why we can sing a new song every day and every moment that we wake up. There are always new songs to be sung because his love is so deep, it is so high, it is so wide, it is endless. We could never sing enough, and that's why we truly could sing of his love forever and ever. In the midst of whatever the season of our lives, his mercies are new. And this week, I was just reminded of what a precious thing his mercy is as I came across Psalm 3:5, where the psalmist says this, I lay down and I slept, and I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. And the psalmist is there recognizing the only reason he's waking up, the only reason that he's going to sleep and that he's waking up is because of the Lord, because he sustained him, because he's given another morning to rise and he's giving him breath, and it's only by the mercy of God. that he is waking up again to a new day. And I read that, and I just reminded over and over, he is our sustainer. It's only by his mercy. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. And that's true for every single one of us. And so sing to the Lord, all the earth. But not only do we sing new songs, but we also find here in verse 1 a call for all the earth to sing to the Lord. This is significant because this psalm, it isn't just written for those, for the Jewish people, but it's written for all the nations of the earth. He's calling all the earth to sing and respond in song and worship to the Lord. And then in verse 2, the content of this singing is for the purpose of blessing his name. As we sing, we do so in love and adoration, for his mercies anew, and we bless him. But in our singing, in our telling, in our preaching, in our declaring of the good news of his salvation, how often do we do this? Is it just like our once a week gathering time as we get together, as we meet? Is it like every so often whenever we feel like it? No. What does he say here? But he says we do it day to day. We keep on doing it. It is a continual singing. It is a constant telling, a never-ending declaration of the salvation, hope, and rescue that we have in him. And we're called to sing and tell and declare the salvation and the marvelous works that he has done and the most marvelous work that he has done. The greatest of all of those things demonstrated towards us is what Jesus accomplished on the cross. As he gave his life to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins that saved us from the punishment that we deserve. And so the psalmist says, sing, do whatever you can to make known the name of Jesus, that others might know of his greatness and goodness. And here's the reason why. Because of all the marvelous things he's done, verse 3, is what it says there. And the call is to make known not just in our families and not just in our like-minded communities, but to make it known to everyone. Before Christmas, we were talking and we're working our way through Acts, and we'll come back to that here in the next few weeks. And we've gone through the series just talking about how we are people who are sent to go and make the name of Jesus known. And that is what here the psalmist is even saying this now. I want you to go and I want you to tell people about the greatness and the goodness of our God. And verse 4, it continues to tell us why. Because he is great. It's all because of his greatness. He's done a lot of amazing and praiseworthy things. And the salvation that he provides in Jesus is at the top of the list. But let's step back, he says, and let's do a little comparing here, just as to how great he is. And verse 4 continues and says, not only is he great and greatly to be praised, but he is to be feared above all gods. Why be feared more than any other gods? Verse 5, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. He says, here's the deal in regarding who this God is that you're called to worship, sing, and fear. He says, the other gods, and in our culture people want to talk about how other gods and how they're all the same, as long as you believe in something, that's okay. Well, David's saying, no, it's not the same. They haven't made anything. They haven't done anything. They are worthless and they are of no value. The psalmist is saying, as clear as can be, any other gods that people worship are nothing. They are worthless and of no value. They are powerless. They are like ants in comparison to an elephant. They are of no significance at all. But the Lord made the heavens, he says. While these other idols can't do anything, he's saying, here's why we worship and here's why we sing and tell of the wonders of God. It's because he can do anything, because he made the heavens and is the creator of it all. It's the handiwork of his fingers. There is no one like him. He's the one who made the stars in the sky. He put them there. The sun that shines by day, he made it. The moon at night, he made it. The ocean that extends from shore to shore, he's the one by the power of just saying it, saying the word. It came into being. He filled it with whales, with fish, and all kinds of creatures. He made it, the mountains, the forests. He made you and me. He's done it all. It's all done by his power. Everything is there all because of him. It's all his all power, beauty, anything excellent, and his glory is there only because of him. And who is it we're told, Paul tells us in Ephesians, who is it that we're talking about? It's Jesus. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or of dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Just love that verse. Your life, my life, this whole world, everything is being held together by him and him alone. As much as we feel like it's all fallen apart, it would fall apart if it wasn't for him. And he's the one holding us together. So as we're called to worship at all times in every way possible to everyone that we can, because of everything that he is and everything that he's done, then let's do this. Verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. He's talking to the whole world here, and he's saying, let's give him all the credit, and let's recognize that all glory, strength, and power, all of it is his. Verse 8 continues, let's bring an offering and come into his courts. Let's bring a sacrifice. Let's bring him something of value, something of worth, not because he doesn't already have it and not because he didn't originally give it to us anyway from his hand, but let's give it as an expression of our love and our devotion to him. And if he's the sovereign God and creator, king over everything, who has done wonderful and marvelous deeds and brought us salvation, what else is right and appropriate for us to do than to worship him and to bow down before him with our lives in surrender? And so how is it that sinners can come before a holy God? In the Old Testament, how is it that a priest would get to come into the holy place? There would be this preparation, this consecration that would take place as they come in with reverence and awe, and there was great fear. How is it that we can come into the splendor of holiness? He says, tremble before him all the earth. And the only way that we can come, it's what we're going to celebrate and it's what we're going to remember as we come to the altar today. It is only by the precious blood of Jesus and through his cleansing that we can come. In verse 10, he says, keep on coming, keep on telling. The Lord is reigning just as he has been from the beginning. He's rock solid, and know this, the King is coming. And what we get to celebrate from where we live in history is that he has come. He's come, and so that's who we get to worship and celebrate, that Jesus came. And he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And God has exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. So the psalmist ends, verses 11 and 12, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then all the trees of the forest shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. For he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He's coming. He's coming again, and he's going to bring judgment. And so, folks, this morning, on this first Sunday of a new year, as we look forward to all that it will be and all that God has for us and all that we don't even know is going to happen, let's consider what it is that we're called to and the greatness of our gracious, wonderful, merciful God. And let's come and let's keep on singing. We're called to sing. He's great, glorious, all-powerful, wonder-working. He's sovereign. He's coming to judge. He's deserving of all that we give. And so let's give all that we've got. And let's sing our hearts out to him. Let's tell and declare of his glories to the world. He's our God who has saved us, and he is our God who has rescued us through his Son. These folks were singing of what was yet to come, and now we get to sing of what has happened. And so let's sing of his grace and his mercy. Is there anything that you need to do as you consider that this area of worship and what you're going to do with your life? Is there anything that you need to do different in regards to your walk with Jesus this year? Anything that needs to be different? Secondly, let's do it right. Let's sing and be filled with joy as we come. But notice it says, come and worship him in the splendor of holiness. The psalmist says we ought to come in the splendor of holiness. There is no way that we can come before God. None of us are perfect. None of us are without sin. But we come only through the blood of Jesus. And it's only by his grace and mercy that we come. But as I consider this command about worshiping the Lord in the splendor of holiness, I can't help but see a call for us also to prepare ourselves. To prepare ourselves as we come before the Lord. The psalmist says this in Psalm 51:17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So he's looking for broken and contrite hearts. Romans 12:1 speaks of presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. There's a preparation of our hearts that we need to be mindful of whenever we come to worship. It is possible for things to look a certain way on the outside, but yet our hearts to be far from where they ought to be. And so where's your heart? Are we coming with our hearts in the right place as we come to worship him? Remember what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. He says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. It's a challenge. It's very challenging. Where is your heart right now in regards to your walk with the Lord? And lastly, if the gospel is true and we sinners have found redemption, how awful would it be for us to have the best news ever and not to tell others? One commentator says it this way, if a redeemed sinner should keep silence on redemption, he would be a monster. It is our duty, but it is by no means a duty that we do begrudgingly if we truly understand God's grace. But we can't help but tell it. We want to make it known. It is a delightful duty. And so let's not lose sight of the glories of the gospel and of our great Savior. So that's what we're called to do. Let's sing. Let's keep on singing. Let's sing loud as individuals. Let's sing even louder together. And let's give him all that we've got. As we head into this year, I can't think of a better thing than to come and kneel before the Lord at the altar and to remember and put first things first. That it's all about his grace. It's all about his mercy. If it wasn't for his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ, we would have no hope at all. Our lives would be falling apart and we would be deserving of everything that was coming in God's wrath towards us. But it's only by his mercy that we come. And so let's bow our heads as we prepare our time for prepare for a time of communion. God, I ask that you would help us to sense and to hear clearly what it is that and how it is that your Spirit is speaking to us right now in regards to what it is that you're calling us to do and to do differently in our lives. Maybe there's an area in which we're not putting you first. Maybe we're not singing all that loud. Maybe we're not telling and declaring with joy to each other, maybe to our families, our coworkers, our neighbors, our community, wherever it is that you have us. We haven't been singing too loud of your greatness and your goodness, of all of your marvelous works. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to sing louder. And Lord, I know the key to that is to help us to see clearer the depths of your grace and your mercy and your love. Because when we truly get that, when we see it, we can't help to sing with all that we have for you. So Lord, in this place, if there's someone who has yet to to make that come to that point of surrender, saying, I'm going to live my life for you, that I'm in desperate need of your grace and your mercy that is only found in Christ alone. Lord, I pray that this morning might be that morning, would be that morning, where I come and humbly say and recognize that we are sinners in need of forgiveness that you alone provide and that you provided and made possible through your death on the cross and your resurrection from the dead. Lord, we're trusting in you. We're leaning in on you. We need you. And so, Lord, take our lives this year, every single moment of it, and God, might you be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen.